Morning, everybody. It's a very exciting weekend in the world of sports. It's your Final Four weekend. Touching on the men's, a little bit of the women's as well. So let us talk about the big finale in college basketball. Russ Miller's with me today. What's up, Russ?
Good morning, Matt. Great to be here on a Friday. Let's rock and roll. And I'm looking forward to this segment today. Obviously, we have two number one seeds that'll be playing this weekend. And we also have a long shot, a Cinderella, so to speak, in NC State. Mm-hmm. And an Alabama team that apparently Nate Oates and Dan Hurley go back years. So it's a very interesting storyline. I understand that UConn just landed a few minutes ago. No, I'm just kidding. They've been there for a day. Much has been made about a 6-hour flight delay at an airport. Believe me, if you fly, and I'm sure you've flown in the past, Matt, it could be a beautiful day and you could be have a delay. So when it's bad weather, when there's mechanical breakdowns, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory by the NCAA against UConn, but I'm sure Coach Hurley will get the most out of that.
All right. So, well, let us talk about the matchups right now. Let's break it down. First things first, Russ, the men's tournament. We have the men's Final Four, as you mentioned. First, Saturday night. First at 6 o'clock, it's NC State at Purdue. 11th seed NC State and 1 seed Purdue. Purdue opening at -9.5. And UConn at the other 1 seed. And the University of Alabama, the other 4 seed. First things first, let's break down the UConn matchup. Number one ranked, one seed UConn is taking on the 4 seed Alabama. UConn is opening at -11.5. UConn has been sailing in this tournament, and it seems that they really have had no moments of them sweating at all. And I'm proud to say that I was wrong about Illinois trying to make an upset over them. They took care of them pretty handily right in the first quarter. And despite the travel issues, if you actually think that that's one, it seems like UConn will be at -11.5. People are very generous with them to make it back to the national championship. And with all the momentum, we'll preview the national championship after this. But how do we feel about UConn's matchup against Bama in
I think UConn is going to obviously win the game. I don't think there's any doubt that anyone's buying. I mean, barring the horrendous shooting. Now, they did not shoot the best three-point shots except that 30-0 run they had against Illinois, which was totally incredible run they had. The 5-0 run to end the half, then 25-0 to start the second half. 30-0 run, putting them away very early in that game in the second half. It was just a matter of when the coach was going to bring his son and Andrew to play and dribble it out. But I do think that Alabama presents a unique challenge. It reminds me a little bit of a St. John's team in that they can shoot the ball. They've put up big numbers. But the stat that I look at is how have they done against the best talent, right? The best talent, they're 3-7. UConn has lost two games, obviously against Creighton and against Hall and also Kansas. So they've lost a couple top 25 games, but they've also won quite a few. And they've dominated in this tournament against non-conference opponents. Against non-conference opponents, they're 30-1 the last 31 games. Their only loss being at Kansas. And they're a very hard team to prepare for, very hard team to get ready for. And I see UConn winning the game. I'll give you an exact score if you'd like. I would say it's going to be 92-71. 92-71 Connecticut win.
Despite the scrappiness, despite this good run Bama makes, they're just going, they're just facing the best team right now. And, you know, knock on wood, nothing has gone wrong with them.
They haven't had to face a defender like Donovan Clingan inside. He's been a force.
Yeah.
In the regional, he almost had a triple bubble, including blocks. I mean, he's playing at another level. He's not getting in foul trouble. One area of improvement he could do better in is his foul shooting. But overall, as a ball player, he's really elevated his game through this tournament. And as he wins, as he hopefully wins on Saturday for UConn, going into Monday, if they do play Purdue, which I anticipate they will, it'll be a great matchup for him to show country how defense can be played on Zach Edey. So, and not get in foul trouble, because when Zach Edey touches the ball, the whistle blows. So we'll get into that in a minute. But the bottom line is, he has an ability to elevate his game. He's done very, very well. It's a great story. Stayed local, played high school basketball in the local high school program. Didn't go play travel. Didn't go to AAU. Didn't go to a prep school. He's done it the old-fashioned way, and he's earned it. And he's earned every bit of his success, and I believe he will be a top-five pick in next year's draft.
Would it be surprised, Russ? And focusing on the other matchup, your Cinderella story, an 11th-seeded NC State's taking on the 1-seeded Purdue in the Final Four, Purdue opening at -9.5. Do you see something similar despite this nice run NC State has made? Do you think Purdue also, with a prominent big man and being well-coached and everything working out for them, do you expect them to handle NC State pretty easily like you expect with UConn?
I do, Matt. I think, again, a key stat for Purdue, top 25 opponents, 10-0, Purdue. 10-0. They lost that first round game last year, and they've come back like gangbusters with their team. Matt Painter's done an excellent job. He's got the monkey off his back. And I think Purdue won that game, again, fairly easily. Sets up the big matchup for Monday night, the anticipated matchup between Zach Edey, Purdue, Donovan Clingan, UConn.
Mm-hmm.
The difference in the game won't be Zach Edey or Donovan Clingan. It will be the supporting cast of characters led by that enormous depth and guard play, forward play of UConn. So what happens in that situation is Hurley tells Clingan, just don't foul out, don't get in foul trouble. Let Edey get his points, but let's shut everybody else down. Eventually, Edey's going to tire out in the second half of that game. UConn will pull away late. But that could be a very interesting matchup for UConn if they don't shoot really well. It could be, it might be Heartbreak Hotel, but it could be that at 13-point streak could be in jeopardy. You know, they've won 10 straight NCAA games. This year it's been an average of 28. Last year was 18, and they've won every game by at least 13 points, setting an NCAA record. They've set enormous records, UConn has. So UConn's at another level, but Purdue has Edey. They'll have momentum. You know, I say this, it seems like we're hit the replay button as to who UConn's playing. I mean, they have to play Alabama, but Alabama's a newcomer, so I expect UConn to do really well.
Yeah, they've turned to a basketball school in the last 5 years, the way they've been playing, and producing some NBA talent, too. Very interesting.
Nate Oates is an up-and-coming coach, phenomenal coach. But Purdue versus NC almost? State, I think Purdue just has a better matchup, but NC State's going to play loose, and it could be an interesting game. I think Purdue will win the game, but it could be close. I mean, who knows, right? You hope to see close games. I know the national audience, but they might get that classic Monday night could be classic for three quarters of the game. It could be a very good final game this year. It could play into that. But I truly think, you know, because don't forget, Purdue has not lost against the top opponent this year. According to the statistics I'm looking at, they're 10-0 when they've played a top 25 team. They also would have won five tournament games after bowing out in the first round last year. So Purdue will be confident, definitely confident. But I think UConn survives. They cut the nets down, and we get back-to-back for the first time since Billy Donovan's Florida team in 2006, 2007, which – you know, it's just remarkable. It's very hard to repeat. Now you're going to see that the next 80 minutes of basketball for Connecticut and for the other teams too. It's going to be interesting games. But the Monday night game will be much anticipated, where you have one seed, two one seeds going at it, I believe.
Yeah, you know, the real thing here, it seems that UConn will have, it's almost poetic, just as cinematic, that if you really want to get this second repeat, you will have to face your toughest matchup in Purdue, assuming everything goes well in Purdue to earn that, and the two best teams in that sense. And that's really cool. It's something fresh as well, instead of your normal like Duke and North Carolina's and Nova's. And yeah, I guess you could say the same with UConn, but everything's been different here. It also see Purdue finally make it this far to the Final Four anyways. I like the idea of UConn playing their best competition, what's left in this final matchup in these last two games, presumably. So, I mean, how could you not be excited for that?
Yeah, as UConn fans embrace for, I believe it's now the fifth time in history that the men and women both have Final Four, which is absolutely incredible. And then, of course, NC State, you have two teams that have teams on the men and women's side. And unfortunately for NC State, I think both end in the semifinals. NC State's playing a tough South Carolina team on the women's side. And then, of course, they play Purdue. But to have two teams out of the four teams in each side is between the men and the women is unbelievable. Women's basketball has gained popularity, obviously, through UConn. First Tennessee-UConn rivalry, then UConn's domination for four straight years when Breonna Stewart had a crazy record and they won every year. And then now you have other stories coming out, South Carolina, LSU, and now you have Caitlin Clark from Iowa, who, by the way, her record against UConn, Matthew, 0-2. So watch out for the Lady Huskies to at least make it to the championship game.
I was going to say,
I do think they won't have a shot against South Carolina. South Carolina is very deep. But listen, Paige Beckers, she's playing the best right now. She's played in a long time. And she could make shots from anywhere on the court. But the depth just tough. Not having any more depth and having counting on two freshmen in KK Arnold and Ashlyn Shade. But Geno's certainly pulled a lot of magic out as a three seed to get to the Final Four this year.
So that's why he's a great coach. He's a legendary coach.
He's a legendary coach. And I would not put past him more big win this year and beating Caitlin Clark. But we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Going to say the whole thing about UConn, the men and the women both doing it, it's brought out, it's just why it's the basketball capital of the world. And they won it, both teams won it in 04, both teams won it in 14. And before the season started, if you were brave enough, you got 160-1 on both of them winning this year. So
this could be it. And I've heard some people argue that even though Paige Beckers has dealt with injuries, that some people argue that she's actually the better player than Caitlin Clark. I've heard arguments on both sides, both nationally and locally. I was curious about that comparison. Do you think that could possibly be true?
Well, I think if Paige beats her tonight, and they're underdogs, UConn is an underdog, right? A few points underdog, I believe, tonight against Iowa. And they would have beaten her already twice. This would be number three. That would be incredible. I mean, people were asking Geno how he didn't recruit her, but he already had Aliyah Edwards and he already had Paige. So that's why he didn't recruit. That's why he didn't actively go after Caitlin Clark. And, the bottom line is they play different schedules all year, right? UConn's played a very tough schedule, even though they've had all these injuries. To get back to a Final Four is nothing short of remarkable by Coach Toriano and the team there. And I do think that, if Paige should win tonight and she has a big effort on Friday night tonight under the spotlight, and Caitlin Clark, they both score a lot of points, but Paige does that one extra thing. I think it's an interesting matchup. I'm not even sure if they're going to be guarding each other. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, personally, I think Paige is coming back. Caitlin Clark's going to the WNBA, so you can't judge by that. She'll probably be the number one pick
in
the WNBA draft next year. Caitlin Clark will, but I'm sure Paige will be one or two or three. She'll be in the top when she goes. So a lot of these women, by the way, Matt, are making more money staying in college than they would going to the WNBA now. So you may actually see this is a good thing for the women, because you might see the WNBA have to up their salaries if they want these players to come into their league earlier than the 4 years.
And you could expect all the revenue coming in,
right? The name, image, and likeness money. And because of the transfer portal, I think the women's game, too, will get better over time as well. But it could come down to money, finances, and things. But, I think Paige is better than Caitlin. She could prove that tonight with a big effort. And then if they win, now she's never beaten UConn. So that would be a feather in Geno's cap, another feather in his cap in his storied career as a head coach.
That would be so much fun. And you know, Russ, you know, if we look at back at basketball's history, specifically the NBA, that had a very dark period in the 70s, a lot of players on drugs, not getting TV contracts, no real major stars unless you were a hardcore basketball fan back in the 70s. Then we had, you know, Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson, you know, Indiana versus Michigan, Indiana State versus Michigan State in the early 80s in the tournament that helped get people excited. Then obviously when they entered the NBA, they started the NBA's boom period. It's sometimes I feel like the way that women's basketball game's going, I know, been around for a few decades, not getting the respect it already deserved, but now we have some big players, like characters coming in these rivalries, like a Caitlin Clark and against an Angel Reese or Paige Beckers. And it's almost like, you know, they had this time, this started. Do you feel something?
Is that an earthquake?
Yeah, this is.
I think we just experienced an earthquake.
That's funny. Right on
I
the
think
air.
We just experienced an earthquake. I feel like I'm at the 89 World Series with Al Michaels. My house is moving. My house just moved.
Where I'm at was moving too. Oh, man. That's insane.
We just had, we definitely had an earthquake.
Well, there's everything's no doubt about it.
We just had an earthquake.
Okay.
There's no doubt. We just experienced an earthquake online today. This is a remarkable, Matt. It's made for television. You and I are made for this stuff, right?
I think so,
what the hell's
too.
Shaking? What the hell's shaking? That had to be, about a 5 on the Richter scale? I mean, you know, weather? I'm not a weatherman. Or, you know, I'm not.
Yeah, nothing seems to fail, though.
It's not the Science Channel, you know?
That's funny.
But, yeah, we definitely just had an earthquake, Matt. And I'm sleeping when there's earthquakes, it seems like. But we just experienced an earthquake, my friend.
Man, history in the making. Well, how about that? Anyways, after I'm just saying, do you think like the rise of Caitlin Clark and Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Paige Beckers being stars in the NCAA tournament, do you think that could be compared to like what Bird and Magic in the early 80s being big in the tournament, leading to a boom period in the NBA? Maybe this could lead to a boom period in the WNBA.
Yeah, I think we're set for another boom period in the WNBA. I think women's basketball's popularity is definitely skyrocketing across the country, in my opinion. And, you know, I think with more teams being good helps, you know, I think more girls are playing basketball, it seems like, anyway. And so, I do think there's a boom for the women's game. I think you'll start seeing women's bracket tournament. I know there's brackets out there now, obviously, bracket contests out there now, but you'll see a rise in popularity on the women's side as well. I think so,
man. Man, that's really cool. It's really cool. I could say on the record, I did play some parlay for the first time ever. You know, I played some parlays in women's basketball that I actually hit during the tournament this year. So obviously that will be a good thing. Yeah, maybe it really is time to the WNBA to make their mark in the sports scene. And that's really exciting to see.
Well, we got to experience quite a show here today, Matthew. We had a little earthquake. There's got
right
to be
some
karma to this. There's some symbolism. We're making such an impact. We're affecting the earth. That's
what I'm saying, Russ.
My wife just texted me that I shake the ground. She just texted me.
So, yeah, I'll get in some texts too and say, okay, clearly wasn't us. But I have to ask you one question, Russ, before we go.
Sure, go ahead, buddy.
Your New York Mets, it was almost too obvious. We're talking about their shortcomings. You know, right now they started 1-5, very close to 0-6, almost got no hit in yesterday. I mean, you can't make it up. It's not like it's a surprise, but wow, they have played some really bad baseball to start the season.
Not a surprise. Okay, we've got a new manager, underpaid new manager. We've got a GM who comes from a small market, even though he grew up in New York, comes from a small market as far as his professional career goes. And we have an owner who's more concerned about what's happening around Citi Field than what's going on in the ballpark. So at the end of the day, the Mets are a disaster, and they should not be a disaster. And I blame it all. This is a hangover from July 28th last season when the owner quit on the players and the clubhouse. That's what's happened here. They got no starting pitching. I know the pitching's been okay for now. But think about this for a minute. Pitching usually is ahead of hitting right now. Unfortunately, the Mets hitters haven't figured it out except a couple guys. Alonso's doing okay, and I think Alvarez is doing okay. The rest of the lineup, not only are they not doing well, I don't think they're motivated, and I don't think they're getting the message. And I think the Mets, you know, that 81.5 under, which I called on this show, that 81.5 under is looking really good. They're 1-5 right now. So, so at the end of the day, Matt, you know, the Mets are hopeless. I mean, JD Martinez isn't going to save the day in a couple weeks or whenever he comes. You know, I do want to make a comment about an injury that's going to affect the team, and that's the Knicks, the big guy.
Julius Randle?
Julius Randle not being able to come back this year.
And
surprisingly, which I thought maybe surprisingly would have gotten to an Eastern Conference final at least.
I thought so too.
I think their hopes are definitely dashed. But if they can win one series and build on it, bring back everybody healthy next year, I think, and make one or two more tweaks to their lineup, it could be a really, really good basketball team next year. So that's the hope for the Knicks. Stay healthy. Get some.
And we need OG back
but
too.
I don't mean to deviate with your question about.
Not at all. It's welcome.
But
always
the
welcome.
Mets aren't even worth my time anymore. They're not worth my time.
April 5th.
I haven't even watched the game, to be honest. I haven't bothered.
Do you think you'll go to Citi Field even for just a leisure activity this summer?
If I want to go to a baseball field for leisure, I'm actually going to go to a stadium where I could actually see some real baseball. So
hey, you know how I feel about these Yankees right now.
I might go to Fenway Park. Even Boston's off to start, but New York, Yankees, listen, you know, not ashamed to admit it. I wouldn't mind seeing the Yankees do well. I don't mind. I mean, it's crazy for a Mets fan to say, but you can only be loyal to a team so long. You know, it's like the football Giants. We're going to have another disaster with them.
Oh, man, we could definitely break that down in a couple weeks.
That's why I'm looking forward to tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday, hopefully Monday, where we have some ending the college basketball season off well. So.
Unbelievable. And, you know, also with the OG, with the Knicks, definitely need OG back. Got to grow this chemistry. And you're right. If we could at least win a round, that'll have some huge momentum. And even really compete in the conference semis as well. And this team shows it could compete. Gritty win last night against the Kings, down by 20 with a huge comeback. Jalen Brunson, as each game goes on, I feel more and more confident he really is one of the best point guards in the whole league, what the Knicks have been missing. And thus, it's some of these role players are just so much fun to watch. Hartenstein's fun to watch. Dante DiVincenzo's had a breakout year himself.
The Knicks are well coached, and then the Tibbs does a nice job. They're a team on the up. I mean, as long as they get everybody healthy, I think they could win 60 games next year with the right drop and all.
I think so too. Yeah. And with the Julius, I saw his injury against Miami. I saw it was the Super Bowl week. It was the day of the Super Bowl he got injured. And it definitely was injured. I just wish, you know, he did the surgery as soon as possible, but I guess it is what it is. So still root strong for the Knicks. Still show their presence. And we'll see what happens. Hey, maybe your guy could be drafted by the orange and white.
Wow, I would love to see Mr. Donovan Klingon, number 32, in a Knicks uniform.
With Mitch Robinson
or Castle, having a hard time staying on. I think Donovan's more suited for the Knicks, to be frank. He plays defense. I think if he winds up in New York or Miami, he's going to be an all-star. We'll see. First, he's got to get through these next two games. Because if something happens dramatically and they don't win, I think Klingon will come back for another season, believe it or not. I don't think he wants to go out without having another ring.
Hey, might as well go for it. But Russ,
but I don't want to end negatively. Let's end positive. Let's go Huskies.
Let's go Huskies. This is their time. The teams, even if even through travel issues, this team is clicking on all cylinders, and now they have to just prove why they are the best college program in the United States, both men and women's, but especially for the men with how high momentum they have. Should be a lot of fun. But Russ Miller, you killed it as always. I look forward to speaking with you again, and let's enjoy some Final Four basketball.
Let's do it. Thanks again, Matt. Have a great one. Have a nice weekend. Thank you.
You as well.